Hello, everyone, and welcome to Changemaker Stories. With these podcasts, discover the exceptional journeys of changemakers from the YSEG ecosystem who work every day to transform and improve our society. Covering social, economic, climate, and technology-related issues, this podcast will inspire you to act in order for you to become a changemaker too. Hello, everyone. Today, we're going to talk about different approaches to leadership with Gauri Mohan. Gauri worked as an HR manager at the Coca-Cola company in India and then went back to doing research. So her research focuses mostly on leadership, diversity, and inclusion in organizations. She went to Spain, if I'm not mistaken, for her PhD and traveled to the USA for her research. And then she moved to Canada for her postdoc and is now in France giving classes at YSEG School of Management on leadership and international human resources. And currently, Gauri, you are in India. So thank you very much for being with us today. And your insights will probably help many of us understand the importance of leadership to become change makers. And my first question for you is, how do you define a leader as we see it today? And by we, I mean the French society.
Well, first of all, thank you, Victoria. Very happy to be here. Okay, so that's a tough question to start with. I see leadership more as something which exists in relationships among people more than as an individual trait or as a quality of that a person possesses. So it's a little hard to define who a leader is, because then you're assuming that it's something of a personal quality. Right. I think that leadership is expressed in how we influence others and how we're able to create an influential relationship. And that can be in a moment. It may not be in all relationships that we share with everybody. And it may not be always like a fixed nature of a relationship, right? So In that way, we could see all of us as being leaders, because we tend to lead or influence somewhere or the other, in some phase of our life or the other, at some point or the other, right? So in that way, I do believe that everybody could be seen as a leader. It just varies on when and where you exercise that leadership.
And I think in your research, you talked about different approaches. And if we start off maybe with the gender approach, why do you believe that there are more men than women that become leaders today?
That's an interesting question. So I think there's this exercise that I do in the class, and this is based on a research which has been done previously. So I ask my students in the first class that they come to think of what represents good leadership to them. Then I ask them to draw a picture of good leadership. And I say, don't worry if you're not a good artist, but just draw a picture of what good leadership looks like for you. And 99% of the time, they draw a male, or they draw a masculine figure. They draw a man. So there's never, and that happens 99% of the time. And this is also backed by research, which basically says that our implicit stereotypes about leadership are essentially masculine. So when we think about qualities of a leader, we tend to think of more masculine qualities. For instance, there's this great man perspective on leadership, which is a theory which sort of dominated the area of leadership for a long time, which basically says is leaders are people who have this superhuman qualities to get things done and to create a sort of big change in society. So we associate dominance, assertiveness, power, all of those things which are very masculine with leadership. So I think that's a big reason why we tend to see more males, more men becoming formal leaders, or having an easier time being recognized as leaders across various circumstances. But that doesn't mean that women don't exercise leadership. It's just that even when they do exercise leadership, it may not get recognized immediately mm-hmm. as leadership. And they may not be rewarded in the same way as men do, because it's, because we tend to think of leadership more in terms of what, in terms of what are essentially masculine strengths. So it's easier for men.
Right. And so what would be the consequences of the, or the impact of having more women as leaders?
So, I believe that men and women have different strengths as leaders. There are a lot of common qualities, but I think there are also different strengths that men and women bring. For instance, women are better at creating collaborative efforts and creating or engendering more cooperation in situations when you need people to come together for and work together in something. So for instance, there's recent research which shows that in the US, states that were led by female governors tended to do better in handling the COVID crisis compared to states that were led by male leaders. And that's a great example of female leadership being very successful, because women are generally seen as better, or there's evidence that women lead better in a crisis situation, or when you need to sacrifice personal interests for a higher collective goal. On the other hand, male leaders are better in competitive situations when you want to compete with a different group, right? So they are there are different strengths that men and women bring to a specific situation. So I think that some of the consequence of having more gender diversity in leadership, if you think of an organization, for example, it would be that we are able to synthesize more leadership strengths, like a more diverse leadership portfolio, so that the organization becomes more adaptable, more flexible, able to cope better with different kinds of challenges, right? Rather than only having one kind of leadership strength. So I think that would be one of the consequences.
And how do you think the women leaders could emerge in our society today, for example? If we want more women, how can they become the leaders today?
So I think women have always led. You know, I think it's that they've always led. So we've always had women leaders, but it's just that formally, women leaders don't get the recognition that they deserve, or that's not translated into their leadership actions or behaviors are often not translated into promotion to a leadership position or leadership being awarded to them formally, or there's so much of research out there which shows that when the same behaviors are performed by a man and a woman gets penalized and a man gets rewarded, right? So I think the onus is more on us as a society and as organizations and as educators to sort of recognize that leadership is not something that you, is not in that sort of very narrow, very traditional masculine box that we have defined, but it is more diverse, and that there are different ways to lead. And I think creating that awareness and teaching students to be themselves in their leadership as well, and bring their own unique strengths into how they want to lead in an organization, I think that's basically the first step. So the onus is on us as a society and as educators and as scholars and as management professionals to help create that awareness and that change.
Thank you. So if you teach leadership, but do you believe every single French student that takes your class can become a leader?
So when students come to me, when I first start interacting with, you know, and I start sort of introducing my course and say, okay, this is about leadership, there's a sense of, sometimes I feel like there's a sense of weight on their shoulders because we have been talking about leadership for so many decades now. And there's so many books out there about leadership and, you know, there's so much hype around it that everybody thinks that, okay, being a leader is becoming a CEO or becoming a, you know, a politician or becoming the president of a country. And not everybody wants to do that.
Right.
So when I introduce my class, I tend to say that stop thinking of this as something, I mean, don't think of leadership in terms of this big grand thing that you have to achieve at the end of your life or you're a failure. but think of it in terms of how you relate to others. Think of it in terms of how well you're exercising your strengths. So maybe, you know, so in, to answer your question, one of the ways that the course is structured is that we start with talking about self-leadership or task leadership. So we talk about how doing good at your task is sort of fundamental to being a good leader. So if you want to start thinking about leadership, think about how well you lead yourself. So do you manage your time well? Are you thinking about your long-term goals? You know, so that's a great place to start in terms of thinking about leadership.
And do you think it's different between French students or, for example, if you had taught in the US or in Canada, would the approach to leadership be the same?
For me, it would be the same. I mean, students might respond differently, but I do feel that the way that I would think about leadership and the way that I would, the foundational message would definitely be the same. Maybe the style of delivery might be a little different. Maybe the form might be a little different, but I think the core of it would definitely be the same.
Okay. And would there be any differences in maybe some students that are more likely to become leaders in one country or another?
Yes, so there are definitely cultural differences in the way that we perceive effective leadership or the way we think of leaders. For instance, I'm from India, right? And in India, for instance, humility is a very highly valued trait. And we value that in our leaders. So we want to see leaders who achieve great things, but at the same time are down to earth and humble. And we see that that's something which is appreciated a lot. But on the other hand, if you go to the more Western societies like in US and Canada, humility is not a trait that's seen as a strength. It could be seen as a weakness. So there are differences in how we tend to think about leadership and how leaders should act and behave and speak, relate to others. So somewhere in some places, for instance, you want to brag about your achievements, you want to be more aggressive and forceful. In some places, you're expected to downplay it. So yes, there are differences.
And so based on the several countries that you lived in, which cultural trait is more likely to give a strong leadership temper that exists? And which of the culture or countries is more likely to see emerge leaders more generally and why?
I think that's a difficult question to answer because I don't think, because culture is like a collective programming of our minds, right? So whatever way we think, we tend to, or what are our assumptions about good and bad, we also sort of impose that on the way we think about leaders. So in that way, depending on which cultural context you're in, that the traits that are valued in that culture may dominate who emerges, you know, may dictate who emerges as a leader in that cultural context. So in that way, all cultures have equal opportunities to see high emergence of leaders, but the qualities that may define those good leadership profile might be different.
So if we continue with this intercultural approach, maybe could you explain how leaders emerge And more specifically, how does a leader emerge in a team of employees or students where there is this mix of cultures? If we don't have the same like traits, or if we don't imagine the leader in the same way, how does the leader emerge in this group of people with different cultures?
Yeah, so that's interesting. That's one of the research that I'm working on, is to understand how leaders emerge in multinational contexts. So first of all, the emergence of leaders is not a fixed phenomenon, which means that it's not that if one person emerges as a leader in a group at the beginning, that person is going to stay as a leader for the 6 months that the group works together. That's, you know, may not be how it works. So it's a dynamic process. So people emerge as leaders, and then the team might realize that, okay, this person is not really effective as a leader, and they may lose their status, and somebody else may emerge as a leader, or multiple people may emerge as a leader. So that's like the first part. So it changes, right? As teams work together, their norms and their expectations of what leadership are also changes. But having said that, when we look at the initial points or time of interaction, the initial phase of interaction, we see that it's mostly based on, a lot of times in multinational teams, it's based on our surface level, or what is the, when I say surface level, it's mostly our assumptions about other people from other countries that play into how we award leadership to them. So in the research that I'm doing, keeping other things aside, for instance, you know, gender differences and all of that aside, we see that team members tend to see people from similar cultural backgrounds as leaders more often. So there is, we call that a homophily effect in psychology. They tend to see people with, who are more similar to them as leaders, or they prefer similar others as leaders. But they also tend to see team members who are, or teammates from high status countries, more developed countries as leaders. So there are these, there's this dual dynamics that's going on. So on one hand, we like others who are similar to us, but we also tend to think that, oh, if this person is from a very developed country, then they probably have better skills to lead.
Right.
And it might be based on the assumption that they might have access to better education, more opportunities, and so on. So that's an interesting dynamic, but it's, so that's one of the things that we see. So it could, again, as I said before, but that could change over time as teams work together. But yes, we see those interesting dynamics about cultural differences and nationality differences play into our minds about how we perceive others as leaders.
And so based on your research, and maybe through your classes, because you probably had students from different cultures, how do you teach them? You talked a little bit about it, but how do you teach your students to become leaders? What are the key questions that we have to ask ourselves in order to become this change maker leader?
That's a great question. So the way that our course is structured is we define it, or we teach leadership from four perspectives, which is on, based on task leadership, relational leadership, change leadership, and ethical leadership. So it's kind of like a what, who, you know, how, etc. Sort of. So to start off with, I talk to them about the importance of being good at what you do. And I kind of emphasize that task leadership is really about developing your competence instead of expanding your expertise. Because if you are not good at what you do, then you're not going to be able to influence others. So how do you develop that? How do you structure your life, your professional life, as well as your personal life in a way that you're effective at your tasks? And the second part is understanding how relationships work. So, for instance, what makes someone trust you? So are you aware of the fact of why someone might trust you or might not trust you? Where does that come from? When you work in a group with others, are you aware that everybody is driven by different types of motivations? So, for instance, when I started first working, I had to lead a team of 8 people. And they were very different from each other. They all had different reasons why they were there. working. And so when you are relating to others, it is important to understand there are different reasons why people want to work in that team. So somebody is there just to get the grade. Somebody is there because they enjoy working in a team. Somebody is there because they like the course. So all of those are about building relationships with others. And then we talk about change. So change in a way that, okay, so I try to connect most of my course material with real life examples. So the students can see that, okay, this is not just theory, but it's happening in organizations. So I give a lot of examples of leaders who have led change, organizations that have led change. How do you create an environment where change can happen? Why is change difficult? And how organizations get it done and how complex that is. So it's really about the whole approach is sort of conveying that leadership exists at different levels. There are multiple dimensions to it and it's more complex. And you don't have to try and be like exceptional at all of this, but it's about being aware of it so that you can apply it in depending on the situation that you're in and what's required.
Right.
So that's my approach to sort of teaching leadership. It's to make them aware and then they can take what they want from it.
That's really, really interesting. So thank you very much. And could you give us maybe some advice? What if you had to give some advice to our listeners, what would you like to tell them?
I think we are living in a very complex, dynamic, globalized, diverse world. And I think our approach to leadership, our definitions of leadership, the way we teach leadership and practice leadership needs to reflect that dynamism, that diversity, and that complexity. So we need to move away from simplistic solutions and simplistic approaches in developing our leaders and instead create a more inclusive, broader definition of what leadership means, what it can contain, and try to make our students aware of it so that they can bring their unique strengths and their differences into the way that they practice leadership rather than trying to fit into a box that has been defined by someone somewhere. So my aim is to make as many people, my students, my peers, aware that there are different styles, there are different models of leadership, and we need to be aware of it. And we need to create more inclusive paradigms for leadership.
Thank you very much, Guri, for all your insights.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to Victoria.
Thanks for sharing this moment with us. We hope that this episode has inspired you and maybe even encouraged you to change things at your own individual level. Changemaker Stories is available twice a month, in French at the beginning of the month and in English mid-month. So stay tuned and subscribe to our channel. Changemaker Stories is a YSEG School of Management and YSEG Network podcast produced by Eco Studio.